Hour number three. It's the Big Show, Russick and Rowe. Sportsnet 960, The Fan, powered by MortgagesToGo.ca. Always the lowest interest rates in Canada since 2004. Visit MortgagesToGo.ca. Bottom of the hour, we're giving away Luke Bryan tickets. That's fun. We'll take some phone calls, some text messages. Our topic's based on our guest who's in studio right now. Multiple Stanley Cup champion, Hockey Hall of Famer, Calgary Flames legend, Mr. Mike Vernon. Thanks for coming in again.
No problem.
I'm glad you responded to Brent Cron's text message. Thank you.
And promptly, too.
You did.
Yes.
I wonder every once in a while when I text you what I'm going to get. Who is this? What's happening? Where are you? Do you need help? Any of the above? But he got back right away and said, I'd love to. So I was pretty jacked up.
We're going to do the Speargrass Golf Show at around 8:45, Mike. And we're going to have a Masters guest on. I know you've been watching, like, yep. I have. I've been glued to the Masters. Have you been to Augusta National?
No.
Oh, okay.
I know.
You have a look there. You're like, I can't believe I haven't been yet. Like, did you ever have an opportunity to go? Because that's obviously the bucket list for every golf fan.
Yeah, I don't think I've had an opportunity to go. I think I would have jumped on that.
But you're Mike Vernon. How have you not been to the Masters yet?
I don't know.
Somebody's got to bring
it. Like watching it on TV.
Yeah, it's spectacular. it's the best thing to watch. It's the best major to watch. Yeah. Tiger Woods plus one today. Finished his first round, bogeyed on 18. But man, you and I were talking during the break. The way Scottie Scheffler hits his irons,
oh my,
it's absurd. It is absurd how that guy golfs.
Well, I kind of get on my tippy toes and kind of swing at it hard and off balance and everything. And he kind of does the same thing and it just goes straight.
Yeah, and he's the number one player in the world.
I know.
And he's on an absolute heater. Two firsts and a second in his last three tournaments. Not bad. Winning Arnold Palmer, winning the Players' Championship. And his wife is pregnant with their first child. She's due within a week to 2 weeks. So he said, Mike, allegedly, that if she was due, he would leave the tournament. I'm sure if he's leading on the back nine and he's about to slip on a second green jacket and her water breaks, you think he's leaving that tournament?
No. Look, Ed,
no.
Our first child, I was in Detroit and... start of the season, we're to go on the road. And, not that one. It was, they induced her to have it early before I left.
Oh.
And then my second child, I was on the road, and we weren't supposed to have this boy until like a month later.
Sure.
And I get a phone call. It's like, she's going into labor and everything. You got to get home. So they booked me a flight the next day, but they induced her to delay the process.
Huh.
So they can delay it about a day or something like that. Yeah. So I'm sure they got to figure it out.
Okay.
You know, with my first one, most of mine were born in the summertime or off season. But my first one, I remember it was the day after fitness testing. And it was like 6 a.m. in the morning. And I was so excited. I just called the trainer and said, hey, I'm not coming in today. I'm with my kid, right? And I come into the rink the next day. And then I was so excited. But after I realized what I had done, I go chat with Daryl for a little bit. And I'm like, Daryl's like, hey, congratulations. Back in my day, right? You know, got the old spiel, right? But it was training camp. And I wasn't making the team anyway, so it didn't matter.
Did you have to do the fitness test?
I got that out of the way first. You actually took me to my very first fitness test ever in the National Hockey League. You drove me over there.
Oh, good.
And
were you nice to him? Do you don't?
Well, they wanted to make sure he got there.
Okay,
so obviously that's why they had me do that.
Yeah,
That's the worst experience of my life. I think. We all dreaded it. All of us.
Like, what was your? Oh, because I remember we had you on a couple months back, and you said you used to do some sprints in the summer. Between telephone poles, you used to sprint.
Oh, yeah.
I remember your off-season regimen. A lot different now than what you did back in the day.
Oh, yeah. I actually worked out, and I didn't mind doing it and things like that. My first training camp, they give you a book. It was only about 10 or 15 pages, Pierre Paget. And I think this was in 83. And I followed it and did whatever I had to do.
Sure.
So... I didn't mind that. And I go to training camp and then you look at guys like Pat Riggin has got a bowl of jelly as a belly and walking around and guys are like
smoking.
What are you doing? Like we go for a 5-mile run and it was funny. Brad Marsh came up "Hey, Vernie, how you doing?" "Good." And I looked down, and he had a pair of Kodiak work boots on. And I'm like, "You don't own a pair of runners?" He goes, "Never owned a pair of runners in my life." So that was when they just were introducing fitness into the Calgary Flame organization, and we were one of the first in the league. And it was, and then it went on from there. Al McGinnis, Gary Roberts, when they were drafted, they weren't the fittest guys in the room.
Right.
They're the fittest guys in the room now, though.
Yeah.
And they, you know, Gary Roberts is a legend in training all the hockey players, and Al McGinnis was St. Louis. But those guys, they worked their butts off and got themselves in great shape to improve their game. So it worked with a lot of the players, and they just continued that trend.
Brent Cron always talks about how flexible he is, even to this day. How yes, flexible are you not right now, Mike Vernon?
Not as flexible as Croner.
Yeah, it's a...
No, like I had to work at it.
If you were to do the splits right now, how low could you get?
Not low. I could touch my toes, though.
Okay. Oh, okay, yeah.
Sitting in a chair with my knee bent.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah.
I remember with the Hitman training camp, too, in the... whatever it was, the late 90s, Kelly Kissia was there, and I remember doing the beep test. You know, the beep, run across, and none of us Crons are very good runners, except for maybe one or two of them. It was like my Achilles heel, and I remember, like, after, you know, round four, which is you should be able to beat round four, I just walked out, and Kiss is like, "Where the hell do you think you're going?" I'm like, "Well, I'm tired. That's where I'm going. I'm going to go sit down because I'm tired." And he's like, "You're a leader on this team. Let's go. Figure it out." And I had some learning to do.
I remember it was later in my career and things like that. And I told the lady at the university that was hooking you up to all the gadgets and everything. I said, like, "When it gets to 50,
yeah,
can you tell me? Because I want to really push it." She goes, "It got to 50. And I'm like, "Boop, I'm done. 50's a pass." Yeah. I said, "I've learned my lesson."
Yeah.
Because I was spent. You were spent for 3 or 4 days after.
Yep.
Really?
Oh, yeah. It's you go maximum VO2. I was done. I'm not a big guy. And I was done.
It was awful. Like, even the NHL combines, when they started doing those where you have to go work out in front of scouts, like, they'd put you on the push-up machine or pull-up machine, and then you got to work out, and people are looking at you. You're like, "I just want to come over the table right now."
So I get traded to Detroit, go to training camp. They're doing a run or something. I walk up, like, "I'm going to go do this run." They look at me, "What are you doing?" "Yeah." "Well, here to do the run." "No, you're a veteran. Get out of here."
Yeah. Oh, nice.
"You do a 2-minute bike ride. We can determine what you're at, and that's it." I'm like, "Oh, do I love this." You're speaking my language.
They treated their goalies pretty good, hey? Like, the veteran guys, in terms of the fitness testing and stuff like that, allowing them to, like you said, 2 minutes, we can get what we want.
It's not the goalies, the veterans, because they knew the vets were always in good shape, and they come in. You could just look and tell, right? You know, if you don't have the muffin top, then you should be good.
5 gallons of milk in a 1 gallon bag.
The Galloper is the one you got. Oh, that's a true test, actually.
Yeah,
the body fat percentage for sure.
I was terrified of that one. I would not even eat for like 2 weeks prior, and then I would just sit there and shake. And then once that Galloper test was done, I was like, and then I'd go to Jack in the Box or someplace and just crush a burger. I felt so good.
Did you ever do the steam room? Or lose some weight?
Neil Sheehy used to go in the sauna with a bike and have a plastic bag on just to try to get a weight down. It's like, pardon? What are you doing?
I know.
That's the voice of a Hockey Hall of Famer, Stanley Cup champion, Mike Vernon, joining us in studio. Big Show, Russick and Rose, 960 The Fan. You're our topic for the tickets today. We're giving away Luke Bryan tickets. And Mike, we're asking, Mike Vernon was clutch in the 89 Cup run like I'm clutch in blank. Mike Vernon was clutch in the 89 Cup run like I'm clutch in blank. 960, name and location. We'll take some phone calls at 8:32. Potentially you can talk to a Hall of Fame Stanley Cup champion coming up at 8:30. Keep your text rolling in at 960, name and location. When you're having a sad day, do you ever put on Game 7 against the Canucks in 89 on YouTube and look at those glove saves you made on Stan Smeal?
No. Don't do
that. Not even once?
No, I don't. I don't. Yeah, it's funny. My kid's playing in the East Coast League. He's having a good year, but the last three games he's lost. And he's really getting bummed about it. And I said to him, I said, well, you've already clinched playoffs. I said, you just get yourself in that framework. Make sure you feel good about yourself. And just kind of relax a bit. And I said to him, why don't you go back and watch some games of you making saves? Like, put a collage together, get your goalie coach to do it. Just to, you know, because you know you can do it. You just got to reassure yourself. You're having a little mental doubt right now, and you got to get that out of your head. So when I'm having a bad day, it's not glove saves. I'll tell you that. It's go relax. Yeah.
Steam, hot tub,
yeah,
coffee.
The steam's a key.
Yeah.
Did you watch a ton of yourself when you played videos or no?
No, not of myself, but we would do video on penalty kill. And I was always in that meeting because I was obviously part of that. Power play, I wasn't really part of it.
Right.
And then the general meeting, they would talk about what their forecheck is and different things like that. Things that I had to contribute in, but that was it.
Did you study any shooters from other teams? Did you know what they were about, what their tendencies were? Or because I know last time you were saying here, like, what am I going to worry about? They have to come to me eventually. Like, was that your attitude even when you played? You didn't, you're like, okay, Brett Hall likes to, when he comes down on this side, he likes to go this side in this situation. Because yeah, that's what it's all about now. Like, it is so, like, just under a microscope, everybody knows tendencies. You weren't big on tendencies?
I guess I figured out tendencies over the course of the year or the seasons and things like that, but you kind of knew who were the shooters were. I knew who they were trying to set up on their power play because we watched video and things like that, but generally I just kind of played. But you kind of figure out everybody's tendency on the opposition and you know what they're all about. Like, guys would, you know, like Lemieux, he'll either shoot or just crash the net. Anderson was notorious at crashing the net.
Right.
Even on a breakaway, I'd be in the net, he'd be in the net, and the puck would be in the net.
Right.
Like it's just crazy. But
did you feed him the blocker occasionally?
No. Yuri Curry, I'm not that good. I'm not that
guy. Not even once, Freddy?
No. But even Curry. Curry's a guy that just, he's going to shoot the puck every time Gretzky passes it to him or whatever. So you just got to be aware of where he is on the ice and just try to get yourself square to the puck and be in position.
And, you know, I always found, too, that if you started thinking too much, too, if guys would come to you and say, this guy likes to do this, and this guy's on a heater, and this guy's, that you'd figure it out, like you said, for yourself, right?
Yeah.
With tendencies, with guys and body language and what they were going to do, paying attention to the jersey number and all that kind of stuff wasn't a big deal. You knew who was coming in and you dealt with it on the fly type thing.
Yeah. So there was a time when I was in Detroit, we were playing St. Louis, and I don't know how this happened, but Al McGinnis had a breakaway. And I'm like, ugh, Chopper, he's just going to shoot this thing or whatever. He deked me to his backhand and scored.
Yeah.
And I'm like, after the game, I'm like, I look at him and go, I knew you thought I was going to shoot. And his stick is so bad, I didn't think he could take a backhand because as long as I've known him, he's never done even a pass on a backhand. Everything's on his forehand.
That is the voice of Hockey Hall of Famer, Stanley Cup champion, Mike Vernon, joining us in studio. It's the Big Show, Wrestling and Rose. Brent Cron here, no Matty Rose, no Patty Dumas. Today's goaltenders, obviously, size is a big thing. And when you see a guy like Dustin Wolf playing in net, it's kind of surprising now because Dustin Wolf's kind of like your size, Vernie. He's a guy that...
I wish I was his height.
Yeah, just seeing you, highlights of you on the ice, you look at you now compared to what goaltenders look like now, they're more blockers than maybe goaltenders. Like, is this good for the position? Did you prefer guys who are super athletic in that? Because Dustin Wolf relies on his explosiveness, his quickness, his agility, and then you have a guy like Jacob Markstrom, excellent goaltender, but when you're 6'6", you take up a lot of the damn net.
Yeah. Well, if you're 6'6", like Markstrom's played this year deep in his net, and he's relied on his lateral movement, but he is making more acrobatic saves than he did the year before.
Right.
The year before, he was kind of he was a little more aggressive, and he was getting himself into out of position a bit. And then when he did move, there's big gaps. So this year I've noticed he's played a lot deeper in his net, a lot more controlled and square to the puck. And he was having a great year. He was MVP and things like that up in, you know, they've had a tough go because they got rid of a lot of players and things like that. But I like watching guys like Dustin Rose. Saros in
Nashville.
Nashville's yeah. one of my favorite goaltenders because he's acrobatic. He's square to the puck. He's a really good goaltender. Plus, he's got their team into the playoffs because how well he's been playing lately. But, I mean, I like guys like Jonathan Quick. I think Jonathan Quick's about 6'2".
Yeah.
But he's acrobatic.
Yeah.
And, you know, these other guys, like they brought in this guy from Philly. He's like 6'8".
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, my. And he's still a young goaltender. He's got a lot to learn and things like that, and he'll calm down. But, yeah, the bigger goalies, they're getting more acrobatic, though. They're like Gumby, a lot of them. Yeah. And, you know, I know Aiden Hill a bit and things like that. And these guys are starting to have trouble with their groins and their hips and things like this. And it's tough to play that kind of style because your body's not used to making those, you know, always going down and twisting like that. But, you know, some guys like Denko in Vancouver's a very good goaltender. You look at the guy in Tampa Bay, Vasilevskiy, and like that guy's unbelievable.
Yeah,
and he's a big man, and he's a great goaltender. So
when my groins were always very flexible, my hips were tight as a rock. That's the one thing that I had to really warm up before games. Do you notice now too that guys when they go into the butterfly on the goal line, both their skates can touch each post?
Yeah,
like I mean, could you name anybody when you played that could even do something remotely? Well, I could never do it.
But I think that the equipment. The pads that they wear are very loose, and even at the bottom, that the pad actually it can turn a bit more, and it makes it easier to do the splits and get down like that.
Yeah,
our old style, you know, my pads were relatively tight, and they didn't move like the pads today. So it was a lot harder for me to do those moves.
Yeah.
But the equipment is one of the biggest difference too. They're so big, the pads, the how they move and twist, and they can cover the bottom of the net, and that's the number one thing.
You know, I got new gear for the first time in 15 years. I've skated with it 4 times now. I got to go play in a tournament next weekend in Cold Lake. And I can't even use it. It's so weird. Like my stuff is it's like pushing on sandpaper, and I had like rips and tears in it, and they had the buckles, and it's rusty, right? And then the new stuff, it's just Velcro and a string through your toe, and you go down, and it's just flat along the ice, and you push, and it slides out of the net. It's just, it's insane. That's a very good point.
And it's light.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like they're feather light.
Were you an equipment nerd when you played?
I was an equipment nerd. If you look at my equipment, it was the worst gear in the league. I mean, I look at kids nowadays, I go, yeah, that's better gear than what I played with. And it was embarrassing. I had...
And they're 12.
It was, you know, I started with deer hair in the pads.
Yeah.
And it took me a half a year to break them in.
Yeah.
And these guys get new pads every 2 months.
Yeah.
Like it's ridiculous. And the gloves and things, and even getting a glove, it took you months to break it in. So it was, it's total different game now. And even towards the end of my career, this stuff got lighter. And I mean, you took a picture of me in 85 and look how small I was. And then look in the 2000s, like it looked like I put on 75 pounds.
Right.
But the gear was light, the arm pads and the gloves, and even my goal pads were starting to get a lot lighter and more foaming and things like that. So it was nice.
How many gloves would you go through a year early on in your career? How many would they give you?
Maybe two. But later it would have been with the Vons. I used to use Vons and I could use them in a practice and basically I'm good to go. So I'd use maybe 3 or 4 a year.
How did you break in your glove? What was the routine?
Just put it on and go out and catch pucks.
That's it?
Yeah.
You weren't sitting in your bed throwing a puck in there and patting it in like a baseball glove?
The old days, they were all leather and they're really stiff. So you would put a baseball in it and you go. You'd put goose grease on it and then you put a baseball and tape it up overnight, then get it out and try to work it in and things like that. And that's what you used to do.
Sure.
You used to beat your pads and bend them under a bench and stuff like that. But nowadays, they just take them out of the box, put them on, and go play.
I had a teammate that had the team bus drive over his pads one time just to break them in. Wasn't a good idea.
Yeah.
No, not a good idea at all.
I was going to say the bus went through his legs.
is the biggest thing in goalie equipment maybe we don't talk enough about is the flexibility in the skates?
Oh, boy. Well, they're light. They don't have cowlings anymore because they're carbon fiber. They're just like a regular skate with a blade on it. It's unbelievable. And the protection's there. I mean, even with the cowlings, pucks used to hit your toe and it still hurt.
Yeah.
And there's sometimes it would break the cap on your skate. And there's a gap of about, you know, 3/4 of an inch. But they were terrible.
When your toe was exposed too, because you had those leather straps you had to rope through, right? And now that nothing in your skate is exposed, right? And then the edges on the skates too, which is new to me. I still have cowlings on my skates, and people tell me like you should probably
get
some new ones. You might notice a difference, bud. But the steel on them too is positioned differently, where you can slide left and right, and the blades we used to wear were just straight up and down, and it was all skill and ability, Vernie.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
That's Mike Vernon, Hockey Hall of Famer, in studio. That's Brent Cron. You ready to give away some tickets after the break?
Sure. Sure. I don't have any. You have them.
Yeah, we have them. Let's do it.
Yeah.
403-240-4444. 403-240-4444. You always got a better chance to win when you call. Mike Vernon was clutch in the 89 Cup run like I'm clutch in blank. Mike Vernon was clutch in the 89 Cup run like I'm clutch in blank. 960-960, name and location. We'll play some text messages. We'll take some phone calls. We'll do the Speargrass Golf Show. We'll do the Lock of the Day. We'll do Plays of the Week. We got lots coming up here in the 8:30 segment. It's the big show. It's George, Cron, GVP, and Mike Vernon. Sportsnet 960, The Fan. It's the big show, Russick and Rowe. Sportsnet 960, The Fan, powered by mortgages2go.ca. Always the lowest interest rates in Canada since 2004. Visit mortgages2go.ca. Hockey Hall of Famer, Stanley Cup champion, Mike Vernon, still in studio with us. Brent Cron, too. You're here Monday with me as well.
Doing the same thing for 3 whole hours.
Are you getting tired yet?
I'm actually not bad. It's my first time, though, you know? I'm running on
3 hours.
Excitement.
Yeah, he's big time. He was early here, too, Vernie.
5:30 a.m. That's why I
look
like this.
Beaver.
I noticed the way he's dressed. I don't think he's taking me out for breakfast after.
Not today. No.
I'm in sweatpants.
I'm headed to Lethbridge for a rugby game, actually, after this. My daughter's playing. So.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
That's very fun.
Casual Friday.
We have a pair of Luke Bryan tickets to give away. We'll do the Speargrass Golf Show in about 10 minutes, where we have 4 passes to play around at Speargrass Golf Course, which is always fun. Sam McKee, one half of the Golf Guys over on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, will join us. But right now, we've been asking you on the text line, and call in 403-240-4444, 403-240-4444. Mike Vernon was clutch in the 89 Cup run like I'm clutch in blank. Mike Vernon was clutch in the 89 Cup run like I'm clutch in blank. 960-960, name and location. Our Sportsnet 960 The Fan text reading robot is Texty McTexterson. Do you have some good text messages for us here, GVP?
Yeah, we got 10 right now.
Are you ready to hear some, Vernie? Because you're going to pick the winner.
That's it?
No. He pairs them down. There's more than that.
Some you can't say.
Yeah, we pair them down to the good ones, Vernie. That's how this works. Okay. And you're going to pick the winner today.
Okay.
Because you're our special guest. So hit him with a couple right now.
Dustin from Drum. Mike Vernon was clutch in 89 like I am clutch at rolling my ankle just walking on flat ground.
There you go.
Croner. Oh, sorry.
Yeah. Flat ground is tough, especially in sandals when you've had a few.
We love our listeners from the Drum. We love our listeners from the Drum.
Mark from Lethbridge. Mike Vernon was clutch in the 89 playoffs as I'm just as clutch in Mario Kart driving against my 7-year-old daughter.
Okay. Take her to school.
You know what? I did that with my kids where I crushed them when they were little at Mario Kart, and now that they're older, they beat the wheels off of me, and it's not even fun for me anymore. I'm done.
Do you throw the controller? Are you that guy?
I could. Okay. I don't. I'm composed, but I might let a few F-bombs slip out.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Kurt in Cochrane, like I'm clutch in my Theo Fleury pajamas before they even existed. Hard to believe an eighth round pick had themed pajamas 36 games into his rookie season.
I had number 14 pajamas. I'll post a picture of it. Maybe it wasn't Theo. But when I was little, I had number 14 Theo Fleury pajamas. Maybe it was Kent somebody Nielsen? Else. Could be Kent Nielsen. You know what? Probably was. But anyway, doesn't matter.
Did you? I don't think they came up with memorabilia like that back in those days.
Let's get to Jason on the phone line here. Jason, good morning. How are you? Yo, Jason. Hello. Hey.
How's it going?
Good. How are you?
I'm great. So you guys got to picture this, okay?
Okay.
I'm blind. I was supposed to give birth to my kid, so I go for a cigarette, come back inside just in time for my wife to go, I got to push. Just in time, clutch.
Oh, all right.
Oh, there you go.
Thanks, Jason. Hang on the line. We need to vet some calls sometimes. He wasn't giving birth.
No, he was not.
He was absolutely not giving birth. 403-240-4444. Going to say Jason's not going to win today. What else do you got?
Sean in Capitol Hill. Mike Vernon was more clutch in 89 than I am at using my iPhone calculator to add 7, subtract 5, and add 4.
Oh yeah, the whole Frank Cervalli
well done. Yeah,
not
that's
bad. Good.
That's not bad.
Yeah, we had Frank Cervalli. He's being a bit of a dick earlier, Mike, but it was fine. That's Frank Cervalli. He's sometimes a dick. Yeah. It's fine.
Hey,
that's
do you
why
have a
we like him on the show.
Yeah.
Do you have an iPhone calculator? This is how this works. Yeah, we know, Frank. Yeah. Thank you.
4 plus 11.
We're just 11. Saying, how do they constantly move guys from LTIR and whatever and keep? Well, whatever. It's fine. Frank's a good guy. What else we got?
Wedley in Bridalwood. Mike Vernon was clutch in 89 like Brent Cron is clutch in mall power walk races.
Oh.
Can't be beat.
That was a long time ago.
That is a deep cut.
Yeah. I power walked about, I don't know, 6 years ago at a mall and
really?
Won in a race. Yeah.
Like you did, your feet never left the ground?
Didn't leave the ground.
Really?
Yeah. You have no idea.
What mall was it? Was it really small?
It was like the North Hill Mall or whatever, right? There's nobody in it from one end to the other. You know, I'm a quite a competitive guy, Vernie. You know,
are you faster than you look?
Oh, way faster. Way faster, flexible, everything. Everything is more than what it appears.
I had no idea you were a mall walker.
Can crush it.
Did you have a fanny pack when you did that too?
That probably would have helped me, you know, hurdle a few of them, right? But but the interview afterward with me breathing really hard was not fun
did
for
anybody.
Did
you wear like a headband and some sweatbands on your wrist too?
And
so
some,
you can get all the sweat away?
And some neon shorts.
Yeah, I feel like it. Very
with
short
some,
too.
With some pumps.
Yeah.
Right?
Is very it like short. Roller hockey? Were you elbowing people as you're going by?
Yeah. I would just
hit them in the ribs?
I was just giving them the old horse eyes I was beating. I was like, you're not beating me today. You can try as much as you want.
Jamie in Airdrie. Vernie was definitely clutch in 89 for sure. But for me, he was even more clutch when he was feeding Patty Roy lefts and rights at center ice at the Joe.
That was pretty good.
Yeah, that was good.
You ever talked to him about that?
No, I've never. Patty, I haven't seen him.
Oh, okay.
Like face to face.
So, like, let's say you guys are like some Hall of Fame dinner somewhere. Like, hey, do you remember the time?
I was there. He was there, but he didn't come up to me.
Oh, okay.
And say anything. And, but anyway, no, it's
okay.
I think I'm more famous for that than I am winning 2 Stanley Cups.
I know.
Because people bring that up all the time.
Yeah. He did have the size advantage on you, Vernie.
Yeah. I had to jump up to hit him for crying out loud.
I remember that.
I was so fatigued.
Yeah.
I was so done after that fight.
Then you
I had a new respect. The guys that fight, that's ridiculous.
What did the guys in the room tell you after?
Oh, no. They just.
They loved it.
They
right?
loved it. High five. Like, even after, you know, you go play another team and they're, good job on Wall last night or whatever. Great job.
Yeah. You're giving fighting tips to the boys next day at practice?
Oh, not.
That's awesome.
Paul in Chestermere. Like, I'm clutch at the 2 a.m. karaoke during family and friends BBQS when I'm 12, Bud Lights deep.
Okay. 2 a.m. karaoke, 12 Bud Lights deep. You always think you're a good singer.
Yeah.
That's my favorite thing about karaoke when people think they're really good singers.
Oh, I know.
And they take it super seriously.
And they take
that
microphone like with confidence.
They
and they
work
just grab it.
It
and like, yeah, you know, we'll start it over again. We got to get the rhythm going. My very first karaoke was I sang Hadaway, What Is Love?
Oh.
Very poorly.
Did you ever karaoke before, Mike?
No, I don't do that.
Okay, I was going to say.
Yeah, I know my limitations.
Okay. I was going to say, I was just hoping you had a song, maybe like My Way by Frank Sinatra or something. I was hoping it was going to be something like that. Do we dare go back to the phone lines after our first call?
One time.
Okay, let's get to Greg. Greg, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing all right. How are you guys?
Oh, okay, Greg, you seem very up and awake and focused on our contest today. Greg, Mike Vernon was clutch at 89 in the Cup Final. You're clutch in what?
I'm clutch when the boys are a flat in during beer league and the Zamboni's not even off the ice yet.
Okay. Ooh. All right. Okay, I like that. Hang on the line. Drinking a lot of beers already before the game. Probably not a recipe for a good play.
No, you get fatigued really fast then when you have a couple pops. It's tough to...
Before the game?
Before the game. Oh. It'll get you. It'll get you. It'll catch up to you after a while.
Can I ask you a personal question, Vernie?
Yeah.
Did you ever play hungover in the NHL?
No.
No.
Practice? Yeah.
Practice, yes. No games. Yeah. Okay.
Did you ever leave your goal line on a hungover practice or when you were really tired?
Probably. Yeah. Did you? Yeah, I did.
You did.
Yeah. Like, you stay deep in your net to give them lots of room so they don't hit you. But you know what? I still move. Bobby Asenza was the funniest. He would just get in his crouch and not move, and pucks would ring off his head, his shoulder, and he just on his knees, and he just stand there. Like, I don't know how he didn't, die.
You know what's funny? I remember talking to Ronnie Stern one time, and he was saying during practice one time, they knew that you were a little tired, and so you're sitting on your goal line, and you were giving all the guys the glove side to shoot at, so you're up against your blocker side post, and he thought you were trying to trick him. So he tried to go top blocker, and just wrung it right off your shoulder. And he's like, oh, no.
Let's get to Todd. Todd, good morning. How are you?
Good, you?
Good, Todd. Mike Vernon was clutch at 89 in the Cup run. You're clutch in what?
Hitting into the trees while teeing off and finishing with a three-putt.
Okay. Hang on the line, Todd. I feel the three-putt vibes. All right, hang on the line. A little disappointed in our callers today. Usually they're a lot more energy out of the phone lines today. I'm a little disappointed. Maybe they're nervous to talk to Mike Vernon.
I think that's probably what it is.
I think that's what it
is. I'm a little nervous myself.
Well, you've been staring at him. Like,
it's like Friday. The whole time. Come on.
It is Friday.
They're not even out of bed.
it's all right. How many more good texts do we got?
We got three more.
Are they good?
I think they're pretty good.
All right.
Tyler. Vernon was clutch, but I'm clutch at criticizing millionaire athletes from the couch in my parents' basement where I live at 30. We know who the real winner is here.
Okay, I like his honesty.
Yep.
Criticizing athletes from his parents' basement at 30. Okay. All right, I like that one.
Good morning, fellas. Mike Vernon was clutch like I am clutch playing net with the beer league team, and the boys are a flat in before the Zamboni is off the ice.
Okay. Well, that's doubling down on that guy who called in.
This guy who just called in, actually.
Yeah.
It was great.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Let's do another one.
Paul in Brentwood. Mike Vernon was clutch in 89 like I was in the Daisy Mini Golf Tournament against all those crying little kids.
The Daisy Mini Golf Tournament? All right. Do we dare go back to the phone line?
You know, I said no last time, and we got some angry
callers. Aaron, good morning. Aaron, let's get to Aaron on the phone line. Aaron, good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you guys?
Good. Aaron, Mike Vernon was clutch in the 89 Cup run. Like, you're clutch in what?
Quick question for Mike. Did I see him down in Bandon Dunes Golf Resort back in February?
Nope.
No? Okay.
I wasn't there. Sorry.
It might have been him. I was going to say I was clutch at not approaching Flames legends and guys I worshipped as a kid because I'm a big wuss.
Okay.
That guy was probably Glenn Molnar. He looks just like me.
Okay.
It's unbelievable.
Your doppelganger.
All right, Aaron, hang on the line. Okay. I'm really disappointed what's going on with the phone line today. Usually it pops. The phone line pops. I think it's because we have a legend in studio and they're a little nervous talking to a legend. It's okay. What do we got on the text line?
Brent, SE Calgary Mike Vernon was as clutch in 1989 as George Rusick is to ask Frank Ciravalli dumb questions.
Oh! Going back to Frank being a dick, which is fine.
Yeah. Might be cruising for a block there.
Yeah, that is cruising for a block right there. Which one did you like, Vernie, out of those text messages or the callers? Do you like any of them? Do you like the guy in the basement?
Yeah, the guy in the basement was good.
Okay,
I like that because
it's true.
I wonder I'd like to talk to him, like what he thinks of the Vegas situation.
Okay,
I'd like to get him going on that one.
Okay, all right, play that one.
Tyler, Vernon was clutch, but I'm clutch at criticizing millionaire athletes from the couch in my parents' basement where I live at 30.
Congratulations.
We know who the real winner is here.
Yep, congratulations, Tyler. You're going to the Mind of a Country Boy Tour featuring Luke Bryan with Chase Beckham and Tennille Arts. That is Wednesday at Scotiabank Saddledome. Are you a country music guy, Vernie?
Yep.
Oh, who's your go-to? Like old school country or new country?
I like it all.
Okay.
I used to listen to David Allen Cole and all those old guys, but I listen to the new guys too. It's awesome. I think country music's got a great vibe to it now, and it's big.
Have you heard
Jelly Roll? How about him?
Yeah, there you
it's
go.
It's hilarious.
There you go. Yeah. Loves that.
There's a lot of great
Beyonce has singing. A second country album, which people are raving about.
Beyonce.
Really?
Yeah, you should give her a listen.
Beyonce.
Give it a listen. Yeah.
Country? Okay. Seriously?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I knew she had a song, but I didn't know an album.
Oh, yeah.
A country album.
Yep. She's branching out.
Wow.
Yeah. Huh. Has a great song with Miley Cyrus, too.
Oh, dear.
A good duet.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Thanks for all your text messages. Thanks for the phone calls. You ready to talk some golf, Vernie?
Sure.
Let's do the Speargrass Golf Show, Calgary's most friendly and relaxed golf experience, just 30 kilometers southeast of the city. Book tee times at speargrass.ca. That's speargrass.ca. They're opening up this weekend.
Awesome.
Which is super exciting for golfers all over the place. Calgary has such a short golf year. When that window's open, you just want to jump right through that thing. It is April. Let's get to golf season soon. Hopefully the weather stays warm. It's supposed to cool off a little bit next week. But we got a guest, Vernie, and he's all over the Masters. You've been watching the Masters. Sam McKee, producer of Real Kipper and Bourne on the Sportsnet Radio and Television Network. He's one half of the Golf Guys on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Sammy, how are you, pal?
George, it is wonderful to hear your voice in this Masters Friday. How are you, fella?
It's great. Hall of Famer Mike Vernon in studio, too. You want to say hi to him?
Really?
Yes.
Wow, Mike Vernon. Congratulations on the induction to the Hall of Fame, buddy. That's amazing.
Thank you.
Yeah. You got a Masters question for Sam McKee, Vernie? What have you been seeing? What have you been liking?
Who have you picked to win it?
I picked Scottie Scheffler, Vernon.
You're really going on a limb on that one, aren't you? Holy jeez.
Yeah. It's a pretty thick limb that I'm out here on. No, I took a couple longer shots, but to me, I thought if I'm going to put my big amount of money on somebody, it was going to be Scottie Scheffler because it's pretty undeniable at this point, but I've loved it. I wish I could say that I put some money on Bryson DeChambeau. I wish I could say that I saw this coming, but it's pretty remarkable from him to start. It's been a really great journey to start, so I'm fired up for the weekend, fellas.
Yeah, it should be interesting. What do you think of that Højgaard?
Yeah, I don't know a whole lot about him, but I've loved his game, sweet swing. You know, it's a tough thing to win at the Masters as a rookie, right? Like the last one is famously Fuzzy Zeller to do it.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, there's a couple guys with a little bit of pedigree coming in here with Højgaard and Åberg too. Both of these guys are coming in with a bit of pedigree. And Åberg had a good day going. He had a bit of trouble on 15 on the first round. But this Højgaard's right up there. Like, it's a great little leaderboard with, you know, big names, kind of some past champions, some first timers. It's like a vintage Augusta leaderboard. So it's looking great.
Yeah. It's awesome. I enjoy that Højgaard. I saw him take a shot out of the pine straw. I think it was about 230 out, and he put it within 10 feet of the pin.
That's absurd.
I was like, are you kidding me?
You don't think you could do that, Vernie?
Oh, hell no. No,
you don't have that shot in the bag?
No, I don't have that one.
Watching Scottie Scheffler, the way he's just absolutely flushing his irons, I don't think I've seen a guy control the golf ball. This is like vintage. And again, Tiger's Tiger. Nobody's ever going to be Tiger Woods. But this is pretty damn close, isn't it?
It is. And the weird part is, like, he's still not putting great.
No.
Like yesterday.
He missed the one on 18.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he had, like, multiple chances from, like, maybe 10 to 15 feet. He easily could have shot 62 or 63 yesterday. And he's just all the birdies are making, they're kicking because he's just hitting them to arm's length. So if he, you know, I bet you he'll finish the tournament within the, you know, top half of strokes game putting, and that'll be more than enough for him to win it. But like, if this guy, it's stupid to say, if this guy ever figures out the putter, he'll win everything, because he hasn't figured out the putter and he still wins everything. So I don't really know where it's going to go from here, But, like, it feels it's hard to believe a final pairing on Sunday without Scheffler in it, because he's just been unbelievable.
And Vernie and I were talking about this off air, and even the way he hits the golf ball, like, he swings his driver so hard, he falls to the side. Like, you've never, like, you watch Rory hit his driver, it's super controlled, Tiger super controlled. No, not old Scotty Scheffler goes out there and he's kind of falling over himself and striping it 320 right down the pipe.
Honestly, that, fellas, is why he's probably, you know, my favorite golfer right now. And I was a big fan of him coming up. I liked him when he won the Rookie of the Year. I like the way he plays, because, as you guys know, there's not a whole lot of difference when it comes to these swings on tour these days. They're all very mechanical. They're all very similar guys. They just all kind of have this very weird, very robotic almost look to them. And to have the best player in the world be swinging out of his shoes and having his limbs flailing all over the place, and his, you know, he's working the ball left to right, right to left, great short game. Like, he's got a very aesthetically pleasing game, and I love that about him. So he's not only the best player in the world, he's also one of the best to watch. It's just awesome.
Yeah, he's got a great mindset to him. He doesn't get flustered or down. He's just got that consistent demeanor. And he just keeps going, and he's got that mental part of the game down that I think that takes him over the hump to be one of the best in the game today.
It's true. It's almost like, Bernie, it's like an inevitability where you're right. Watching these tournaments and you're just like, well, you know, all these guys are going to have to beat Scheffler. You know, that's what it reminds me the most of Tiger, where him and Tiger could not be more different of guys. I think we all know the differences between Scheffler and Tiger. But it's just the fact that all these guys go out there and they know they have to beat all these other guys. But most importantly, they're going to have to beat Scheffler because he's going to be at the top. And it's just looking like that's going to happen again. Like, I can't wait for his round to start today, because you can picture him going out there, shoot another 66 or a 65 and kind of run away and hiding. I hope he doesn't, but I kind of feel like that's on the way.
Well, I think it's interesting when they interviewed DeChambeau after his match, and he was commenting on Scheffler and the par three when he hit it in for a deuce out of the sand trap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he just goes, this guy just won't go away.
Yeah.
He's just like, and he's shaking his head. Yep. And DeChambeau is leading the tournament right now, but he knows the guy's clipping at him, and he knows he's coming. So
yeah, it's honestly that was kind of like a sneaky swing point in the round for Scheffler yesterday, because he hit that in the bunker, and that's obviously an impossible up and down with the water in the back. I can tell you, I probably would have hit that back to the 12th tee if I had that shot. But like, just having him put that in the hole got him going again. Like, yeah, he's an unbelievable player.
Did you see the backswing on it?
Yeah, it's unbelievable. I don't know how you trust the hands like that.
He took a full swing at that.
Yeah,
I know.
And it was unbelievable.
The soft hands.
It's amazing.
We've been watching Tiger Woods this morning. I don't know. I don't know what to say. Maybe I'm reading into it. Does he look a little labored all of a sudden now? When things are going good for Tiger, all of a sudden he's walking slower.
No.
He's stretching his back. Like, what do you think of Eldrick right now, plus one here, as he's putting for birdie on number two?
To me, he looks like me on the fourth day of a golf trip, getting up to that last one. Just like, it's like, boys, I don't know if I got this one in me. I don't know if I got this one in me. Listen, he's a bionic man. He's put together with metal and, you know, I don't even know what the hell else is in there, but he is a put together piece of, he's a robot at this point. I can't believe he's still playing. Like, I the fact that he's even in the conversation to make the cut to me is truly unbelievable. And that's obviously the reason he's playing. He wants that streak. Oh, you guys are ahead of me. Did he miss it?
Yeah.
Oh, spoilers, Bernie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ooh.
He just left it like a quarter inch short of the cup. And even the way he picks up the ball, too, like he's just laboring.
He should have one of those things at the end of the putter where you just shove it to a suction cup. Wouldn't that be hilarious?
Yeah, it would. It would really help him.
He could probably market that and make millions.
Yeah. I think it would help him.
Get my man a cart. Like, has he not done enough?
Yeah.
Get my man a cart.
I know he's struggling out there. Sammy, real quick, Vernie, before we let Sammy go, is Scheffler the guy you want to see win? Who do you want to see win this whole damn thing?
Well, I'd like to see someone different win it.
Okay.
But I think the Scheffler's going to win it. He's just that good. But, you know, you always want to see someone different kind of win a thing. You don't want the same guys winning tournaments year or weekend after weekend.
So. Sammy, who do you want to see put on the green jacket Sunday?
Considering the amount of money I have on Scheffler, I would like Scheffler to win.
Right.
But like Homa in the mix.
Okay.
Big fan of Homa. I really like his. He's great on podcasts. He's a fun guy. I like his game. His beautiful swing. So I would like to see Homa get it done too. But you know, Rory floating around minus one. Maybe he can make a charge on today or Saturday. But I'm going for Scheffler.
I'd like to see old Billy Zatz there, Will Zalatoris, be in the mix with that stupid stand-up putter. Verdi, I'd rather never hit a putt in my life than use a putter like that.
Yeah, well, he just had back surgery. And
yeah.
This guy, to do what he's doing out there
incredible.
Right now is incredible. Coming off just not one back surgery, two.
Yeah, and he's also putting with a giant broomstick, though. Yeah. I'm not a big fan of that. Sammy, thanks for jumping on today. Terrific stuff.
Fellas, my pleasure. Vernie, a real pleasure to talk to you, man. Congrats again on getting in the hall.
Thanks a lot. You take care.
Bye-bye.
There you go. Great job on that.
Yeah, you know, I was coming up with a few here, you know, just struggling away.
I thought he was having a nap.
My eyes were closed, but I am actually watching the Masters here right now. Some guy in the blue pants is putting. What about John Rahm?
Yeah.
I mean, I like him. What's happening with him?
He's a defending champion. He had a decent round yesterday. He is plus one. He tees it up at 11:36 Calgary time.
Perfect. I'll be watching.
We also have a giveaway. We're a win around for you and three friends at Speargrass Golf Course. It's going to be easy on the text line right now. You get this right. We'll put your name. GVP will do a draw. Who's leading the Masters right now? 960, 960. You have to put your name and location and tell us who's leading the Masters right now. We'll throw in a randomizer. GVP will give it away in the 9 o'clock hour. Who wins the tickets for a round of four at Speargrass Golf Course? Brought to you by Speargrass Golf Course, Calgary's most friendly and relaxed golf experience. Just 30 kilometers southeast of the city. Book your times at speargrass.ca. That's speargrass.ca. And they're opening up this weekend, which is super exciting. So there you go. We're giving away Luke Bryan tickets. We're giving away a round of four at Speargrass. You ready to do our lock of the day?
Oh, right. Yes, of course I am.
Plays of the week. Our lock of the day is brought to you by Metal Supermarkets Calgary, offering a large variety of metal types and shapes cut to any size and ready fast. Metal Supermarkets Calgary, the convenience store for metal, located on 50th Avenue Southeast. You know I love my German soccer, Brent Cron.
We talk about it all the time.
Yeah, you know I love the Bundesliga. We got a match today that I like already. It's Augsburg against Union Berlin. And I'm going to take Augsburg to win over Union Berlin. Lock it in.
Right on.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm still looking.
You're still looking? Yeah. GVP, what do you got?
The Lakers are taking on the Memphis Grizzlies here tonight. Memphis could do the Raptors a favor here with a win, and that could lock up their first-round pick. I'm going to take a look at D'Angelo Russell. I like over his point total, 15.5. Lock it in.
Okay. You got one?
Yeah. The Calgary Canucks head into White Court tonight to play the Wolverines a game one of the AJHL Final. If you got lots of money, put it on the Canucks because they're going to do it again today.
I love it. Lock it in. The Lock of the Day is brought to you by Metal Supermarkets Calgary, offering a large variety of metal types and shapes, cuts any size and ready fast. Metal Supermarkets Calgary, the convenience store for metal, located on 50th Avenue Southeast. All right, that's it for us. Extremely busy show. Thanks to Mike Vernon for coming in studio. Let's do it again soon.
Sounds good, boys.
You're comfortable.
You're great.
I like it. I like to talk golf. How about we have you in for the PGA Championship? You can break that down, too.
Sure. Why not?
Yeah, why not?
You love golf. I can also break it down, too.
Yeah, I know you were talking about blue pants that Max Homa's wearing.
Yeah, right.
That's the hard-hitting stuff we expect from you. What do you got coming up on Mucho Big Show?
We had to move Aaron Bronstetter back a little bit. It's a very busy time for him. UFC 300 goes down live from Las Vegas this weekend. Going to talk some UFC with him.
There you go. Apple, Google, Spotify, Amazon, wherever you get your favorite podcast, check us out. Kron's back Monday. Patty Dubois not here Monday
no.
either.
Yeah.
Is he?
No, he's not here. Same setup as we got right now.
Same setup. Minus Mike Vernon, unless Mike Vernon wants to come in again on Monday.
At 6 a.m.
Mucho Big Show next. Mucho Big Show next. Plays of the week now. Talk to you Monday. Bye.